If you're in the game, well, then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing, grab your mind, yeah. We kick off hour number two of the program. Here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Appreciate you joining us on this Basketball Friday edition. Tennessee gets set to take on Alabama tomorrow, 2 o'clock from Thompson Bowling Arena. A rivalry game and another chance to watch Tennessee and SEC play. They're heavy favorites, and we've talked a lot, if you missed any portion of Hour 1, about the game and the team. But now I want to take a moment to kind of talk about how good this team is off the court and draw your attention to a cancer that has hit close to the VFL family. We are pleased to be joined now by Rachel Hodges. She is of Apple Healthcare.
And you may know her as the Fox Sports Knoxville health professional.
Medical professional. So what you
health, medical, whatever you say.
I guess it all counts. Rachel,
all together.
Thanks for joining the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So there was a trip recently. Rick Barnes and Grant Williams visited Tony White Sr. in the hospital. He's suffering from acute myeloid leukemia. I think I have that right. And Rachel, you just correct us if we, you know,
you
say
got
any,
it.
She normally does.
If
yeah.
we say anything stupid, apparently medical is not our strength on this sports program. So, but
no, bless your heart.
Tony White Sr. played for the Vols. A really great player. We know the family personally. I coached Tony White Jr. at Bearden High School when he was a dynamic point guard there and went on to play for College of Charleston. His other younger brother, Rico White, was a great player, led Bearden to the state tournament. And, of course, Tony White Sr. was a legendary player here at Tennessee. And he's suffering from acute myeloid leukemia. Rick Barnes and Grant Williams went to visit him this past week. And it just kind of brought this this story and this theme up for us and our family. We've had a family member deal with the exact same leukemia, and it's not a good diagnosis. So let's start there, Rachel, because I think, you know, people always want to be able to help in these situations. But what is acute myeloid leukemia, and what's the deal there?
So there are four different kinds of leukemia. Acute myeloid leukemia predominantly happens in adults, and it is a type of leukemia that you invariably need a bone marrow transplant to survive. It's got about a 5% survival rate after 1 year if you don't have a bone marrow transplant. So there are some leukemias that are chronic that you can live with for 20 years or so, but this one, you've got to move fast, and you have to have a bone marrow transplant the majority of the time in order to have a fighting chance.
Yeah, I'm on the Tony White GoFundMe page right now, and it says, you know, I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. It changed my life. He goes on to say that he's had 2 rounds of inpatient chemo, but says exactly what you've said, that he will have to have a bone marrow transplant to save his life. He's been to Nashville, which, you know, our family's been through that with my father-in-law, the exact same kind of process, exact same look. And like you said, you have to have a transplant in this situation to survive. But the problem with that is finding a match. So, Rachel, how does that process work with, you know, Tony White in this case, trying to find a match for that bone marrow transplant that would ultimately save his life?
So matches are based on a certain tissue marker, and you have the most likelihood of finding a good match by somebody from the same ethnic group as you. For example, my family is mostly Western European descent. My father's donor was of Western European descent. My dad actually changed blood types with the donation. He went from being O positive to A positive. So Tony White Sr. is going to be looking for somebody of the same ethnicity as him. However, that's a big issue because in the Be the Match registry, about 23% of African Americans are able to find a match because there are not enough people in the registry. And only about 77% of Caucasians are able to find a match. The other minorities are in between the two of those. But the biggest problem they have with finding people a match is there just aren't enough people in the registry to give these patients a fighting chance of having a good donor for them.
Well, you mentioned Be the Match. Like, what is that? What is Be the Match?
Be the Match is the National Bone Marrow Registry. You can go to bethematch.org and read all the information that they have on there. The nice thing about Be the Match is that if you are between the ages of 18 and 44, you can join the registry for free. It's super easy. All you have to do is go to the website, hit join now, answer a couple of questions, and then they will send you 4 Q-tip swabs in the mail. You take 1 Q-tip swab for each section of your mouth and just swab in between your cheek and gum and mail it right back off to them. And that's how they're able to see what tissue types you have and put it into the registry and scan and see if there are any patients hoping and waiting that a donor with that tissue type will sign up.
Wait, that's it? You don't have to get a shot or an injection or give blood or anything like that just to get on the registry?
You don't even have to prick your finger. All it is a Q-tip swab. You swab the upper part of your mouth, then the lower part, and then you do the same thing on the other side. Upper part, lower part, send the Q-tip swabs back in. The hardest part when we signed up was having the contact information for 3 different people in case you moved, who at least one of those 3 might be able to tell Be the Match where you moved in case you forgot to update the registry when you moved and you happen to be a match for somebody.
So you go to bethematch.org, you sign up for free, because this is a government foundation. This isn't, they're not making money or anything. This is all about saving lives. You get the kit, you send it back, and then you're put into the registry. What happens if they find somebody that you want to, that you're a match with and you donate? They used to like drill into your hip bone and stuff. Is it that type of process now?
No, very rarely do they ever use that kind of process, and you would have some weight into that. The majority of donations now are about 5 days before they want to get the stem cells. They give you a medicine that has you produce more stem cells in your blood. Right now, everybody listening has stem cells just floating in their bloodstream, and that's a normal part of being a human. This medication causes you to produce more than what you normally have floating in your bloodstream. And what they do is they hook you up to a machine that filters your blood. And what it'll do is it'll filter out the stem cells, and you'll have an IV in each arm. And then in the other IV, it just gives you the blood back. So it's basically 2 IV sticks to have the chance of saving somebody's life. And if you do get called as a potential match, only about 8% of those actually go on to donate, because they'll call quite a few people and then do some additional cheek swabbing to see who is the best match. They do it on a 10-point scale with the different proteins to see who has the best protein match for the patient that's needing a donation.
So at that point, I mean, if you are doing kind of the, you know, getting hooked up with the IV and stuff, I mean, you know at that point that you're matched with somebody and that you're donating that those stem cells to save, you know, someone with a type of leukemia or whatever the process is, right?
Right. You know, if you are donating, you know right then that as soon as you donate, they will fly your stem cells to wherever that patient is, and you've just given somebody a chance to fight for their life. The really sad part about the Be the Match registry is the fact that there aren't enough people in there. There are a lot of people dying every day, including quite a few children, because it's not just for leukemia. There are quite a few different blood and bone marrow disorders that can benefit from stem cell transplant. And there are a lot of little kids dying every day just because people don't know and there aren't enough people in the registry.
Is it possible that somebody could, you know, hear this today, get swabbed, and by the time Tony White Sr. is ready to be to have his bone marrow transplant, that they would be his match?
There is a chance. It takes about 2 months to get everything processed, so the quicker they hit the join now on the bethematch.org, the better chance they would of potentially being a match for Tony White Sr. But there are plenty of other people out there who might have a chance if they just join up at any time. One of my best friends joined the registry when my dad was ill, and she got a call this past November that she's a potential match for somebody. So she is going through the process right now of seeing if she is the best option. So they've done additional cheek swabs with her, and they're waiting to see who fits best for that particular patient.
Okay, I think we got it. Go to bethematch.org, and you can sign up there and potentially save someone's life. I mean, absolutely free. I mean, is there any downside to getting on the registry at bethematch.org?
No. Once you join the registry, anybody between 18 and 44, it's absolutely free to join the registry. If you're 45 to 60, you can still join. They will charge $100 for you to join, and that's just the cost of the processing. And it's just simply the odds are that most of the people who turn out to be matches are under 45, so that's why they're free to join and the others aren't. But there's absolutely no downside to joining. You stay in the registry unless you ask them to remove you until 61. And even if you do happen to be a match, if there's something, you know, say you're traveling out of the country for a year and you can't get back, or if you're a female and you happen to be pregnant, that's not a great time to take the stuff. It's always voluntary. You don't have to be in there. You don't have to donate if you do get called up. But I would urge everybody to who joins to really consider donating, because it really gives people a chance to have their family members longer and gives them a fighting chance to survive.
Rachel, you mentioned the 2IV process for donating. Is that multiple trips? Is that
nope? It's usually just one trip. They're able to get the vast majority of them in one trip. Very rarely will they need to do two trips, but the majority of them is just one trip. So for 5 days, you take a medication that helps you produce more stem cells. You go in, you get 2IV6, and that's all it's taken to give somebody a chance.
So an hour or so, and you're done if you choose to donate.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, about 4 to 6 hours, if I remember correctly, because it takes a little while to process all your blood through that machine.
Gotcha. But, okay.
Yeah, you know, they'll feed you well, give you movies to watch.
I was gonna say, you're just chilling watching TV, right? Yeah, it's nothing.
Pretty much.
Nothing to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're chill. If you've ever donated plasma, it's very similar to that.
People do that every day.
Seems pretty easy,
especially. I mean, when you're talking about life and death, like what could be more important than that? And obviously, this hits close to home for Tennessee basketball. It's hit close to home for our family. And Rachel, we appreciate coming on and helping people know where they can get signed up to be the match and potentially save lives through this process. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rachel. Nate, you mentioned Tony White's GoFundMe. His goal was to raise $10,000. In 9 days, he's raised $20,710.
Yeah. And that's great. I mean, that's great news.
I don't know what the cost of his procedure is, but I imagine it's expensive. So that's cool to see. I don't know. I mean, like the attention that Rick Barnes and Grant Williams kind of put on this story, I have no doubt that that led to them being able to hit their goal and now over double it in just 9 days' time. I don't know. It's awesome to see. And
yeah,
now we just hope that that Tony gets a donor lined up and that everything works as planned.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, if you're not in the Be the Match registry, there really is no reason not to. Like she said, I mean, even if it came time that you might be a match and you had situations where you just couldn't do it, then that's okay too. But there's no reason not to swab your cheek with a Q-tip and mail it back to have a chance to, to save someone's life. It's bethematch.org. It's where you can get it set up. And, you know, we mentioned this basketball team being so good, not only on the court but off the court. And Grant Williams and Rick Barnes visited Tony White, senior, in the hospital. And it's funny because there was some coaching going on, but it wasn't coming from Rick Barnes. We'll tell you what Tony White had to say to Grant Williams on the flip side, as we roll on here at Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Check them out online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. They're even open Saturdays from 9 until 2, so ahead of Tennessee's basketball game tomorrow, you can swing in and check out all the granite options they have, quartz as well, and recycled glass. They have tons of level 1 granite options, and that's the most popular kind. It's a great value product for you, and it's the You know, it's the granite countertops that'll last forever. Check them out, knoxstoneinteriors.com, and then swing into the showroom at 3900 Middlebrook Pike. It's Knoxville's Stone Interiors. Proud woman-owned, locally owned and operated business, and one of our longtime partners here at Fan Run Radio. So even Tony White Sr. got into the coaching up Grant Williams with the foul trouble, Houston. Somebody tweeted earlier that they're not worried about winning or losing games at this point in the season. Like, you already know that Tennessee's basketball team is so loaded that even if they have a moment where they play poorly and lose at some point, it's still, like, the team's so good, it's still going to be, you're still going to get to the end of the year with, you know, a great chance to you know, do big things in the tournament.
I mean,
they're more worried
as long
about,
as you're healthy, regardless, if you get there, you feel like with a healthy team, even if they stumble a little bit down the stretch, this is a team that has a chance to go all the way.
Yeah, and they said the only thing they worry about is, you know, some fluky, weird injury situation or something like that. You pointed out that your fear in big games, I guess, is that the players get in foul trouble. Apparently, Tony White Sr., it was described as a dressing down about Grant Williams. Just learn to live another play, he said.
That's a freaking basketball player for you. That's what a legend of a school does. Hey, I know you came to see me because I'm dealing with some stuff, and I appreciate that. Let's talk about your foul trouble.
Yeah. Let it go and live to see another day. We need you in there at the end. Apparently that's what Tony White seen. And knowing the White family and knowing how Tony White Jr. was coached by his dad and Rico White, that doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, those kids, when they came to Bearden High School, they pushed themselves harder than or as hard as any kid we had. It was pretty impressive to see. It doesn't shock me.
Always coaching. I bet Rick Barnes was there like, yep, he's right. You know, you don't listen to me. You're going to listen to Tony now?
Well, sometimes
you should listen to Tony.
You know, sometimes you don't listen to, like your own coach or your own parent.
We're talking
whatever.
Medical stuff, right? Have you heard of a second opinion?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, it's the same opinion. Yeah, uh-huh. You probably nailed it here. I mean, that's the only way you've lost a game this year. That was your big problem last year when you lost games. And, you know, to Grant's credit, since Kansas, well, with the exception of, was that Missouri? I guess he fouled out against Missouri, but didn't really matter. But in big games, outside of Kansas, he's been there for you. And that's the difference. That's how this team reaches their potential, is when in crunch time, last 8 minutes of the game, in a big game, you're not having to worry about minutes and fouls for Grant and Admiral or anybody else. And then Rick Barnes, and to this point, by the way, hat tip, my biggest fear coming into the season was rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Barnes has nailed the rotation. He has aced when to put Lamonte in, when to put Bowden in, when to take Pons out. When to get Walker and Fulkerson some run, it's been perfect. Credit to Rick Barnes and the staff for developing whatever game plan they have. I don't know if it's team-specific or if it's just, hey, this is us and this is what we're going to do, but he's rode the hot hand multiple times, and it's really paid off. That's another experience thing I was talking about earlier. Rick Barnes been there, done that with a lot of deep teams in the past. Feels like right now, even as Lamonte has come back, because that's what I was worried about, when you reinsert him back into the rotation, do we see some grinding of the gears a little bit as far as how smooth things are operating, and you haven't seen that. Rick Barnes has nailed it, and it's been a seamless transition and one that certainly had the opportunity to improve your team, but also probably to make you a little bit worse if you weren't sure how to handle it. And Rick Barnes, the staff, and the players themselves deserve a lot of credit, because the reinsertion of Lamonte Turner has elevated this team to a level that I think we all hoped for, and they're still getting better. They're still fine-tuning it, but it has not been an issue at all.
You talk about addition by subtraction a lot of times when bad things happen, but you kind of worry that the opposite can be true sometimes, that like addition, especially in the middle of the season, can create like not anybody's fault really, just kind of a different dynamic, and it's like, how do we handle? And this is a bad comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's kind of like if you've got a fantasy football team and you got like three guys for two spots, and you keep picking the wrong guy to start. It's like if you have you know, seven starters, kind of like we talked about earlier, but you, down the stretch of games, you struggle kind of picking the guy that's going to have a good night, and you, the, you know, one guy kind of hits a slump in big moments. That hasn't happened at all. In fact, it's been the opposite. I mean, there was the lineup late in the game for at Florida, which is the only close game I can remember at the moment. I mean, outside of the obvious ones from early in the season, recently, I mean. And you had both Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner on the floor at the same time, two non-starters closing the game out for you. And, you know, picking those players in that moment, picking the five out of the seven you want to end the game, Rick Barnes has nailed it. And I'm obviously not complaining. I mean, that's, you know. It gives you the ability to go small, to go big. If a guy is in foul trouble or does, you know, foul out, then you're good.
That's the thing.
To go.
I mean, even against Kansas, when you lost Grant, you want him out there, but it's not like all of a sudden Tennessee got, you know, run out of the gym. I mean, Kansas was able to come back because they were able to go inside and draw fouls and hit free throws, but Tennessee stayed right there. Even in overtime, Tennessee was right there keeping pace with Kansas. And then kind of at the end, you missed a couple shots. Kansas hit some free throws when you had to foul. And what was probably more like a one- or two-point game ends up being six. But still, I mean, look at Gonzaga, right? I mean, this team's ability to win in different ways has been sensational. Tomorrow, I don't care how they win, though. Just win by 10 or more.
Got to
get the max net points.
Maximum net points. And I don't know. Let's just blast Alabama. I mean, it's freaking Alabama. Let's pour it on. If you get up big, like the Arkansas game, let's not let up on defense. Maybe I'm hoping that
did foul out against Gonzaga, didn't he? I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
But then Admiral, I forgot that Grant fouled out because
right?
I was too busy.
Admiral had to bank in a three or.
Yeah, I was too busy just like drooling over the fact that Admiral couldn't miss
right
against Gonzaga. But yeah, he fouled out in that one too. Quit fouling out in the big games, Grant. Dang. Beat those teams by 20.
We'll shift gears coming back next on the football side
man.
Of things.
No way things are going as good in football as they are in basketball, though, right? Oh, wait a minute.
Well, not as good, but just, pretty dang good.
Just play along. Just play along.
This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Try it out before you join with the three day free VIP. I did so well. For months, Davey, I hadn't messed that up.
You had it going, man.
The free 3 day VIP pass at goldsgym.com.
And tomorrow, Saturday, January the 19th, you can stop in at your local Gold's Gym. It's an open house. Just go in, check it out.
I mean, you can get a workout in, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
And I mean, as always, any day you can just go in and ask for a free tour of the facility, check out all the amenities they have to offer. Every gym's a little different. So, I mean, living in Knoxville, there's six area locations you could go check out. Chattanooga, a couple locations down there, upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina. If you just want to drive around that area tomorrow, you can do that.
You could, but you
can go
into probably just want to go to goldsgym.com and find the location nearest you and go check that one out. And you can do that at goldsgym.com. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. So, you mentioned things going looking pretty good, not just on the basketball side of things, but Tennessee football.
They got another one.
They've added another player.
D'Angelo Gibbs, former top 50 recruit nationally, transferring from Georgia. He's actually already transferred. He's in Tennessee's student directory.
Right.
So he's been admitted. And he was a defensive back athlete coming out of high school, and it appears that he is going to play wide receiver for the University of Tennessee. It looks like he will have to sit out the 2019 season, but Tennessee, again, upgrading the talent by getting D'Angelo Gibbs, the cousin of Nigel Warrior. Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm hoping he was only kind of had a rough time at Georgia mainly because of injury, and he can use the sit-out year to get healthy and train and get stronger and faster, and then...
Well, Georgia fans are saying they didn't want him.
Well, of course they are.
Just saying they didn't want him.
I mean, they don't even have to, like... They can copy and paste that now. They don't even have to recreate...
I hope they have, so they don't have to just waste all the time typing.
That's true. But he was a former top 100 player. I mean, that's... You mentioned it. And Cousins with Nigel Warrior. D'Angelo Gibbs. You know
Correct.
Where he's from? You know what high school he played at?
Grayson.
Grayson High School.
Great connection to Grayson. Big mm-hmm. Jeremy Pruitt. He doesn't mess around. He's got some ins.
I wonder if the
in North Georgia and North Alabama high school, the ranks, the coaches seem to like him.
I wonder if the fresh start with a different position will help too. You know, like that. And it's not like some of these guys we talked about last year coming in and not knowing what position they're going to be and figuring out mm-hmm. really quickly. If you have to sit out the year, you get time, right? You get time to learn the offense. Hopefully you're learning Jim Chaney's offense and you'll be running that your entire career.
Well, the good news is he probably picked up some of it playing at Georgia since he practiced against it every day.
Not bad, yeah.
But D'Angelo Gibbs, 6'1", 205, Loganville, Georgia. He wore number 8 for the Bulldogs. Again, played defensive back. He's transferring to Tennessee, and early reports are it's to play receiver. A lot of the national recruiting analysts were actually saying yesterday, unprompted, they liked him better as a receiver coming out of high school than they did as a defensive back. So this might be a really good opportunity for him to play the position maybe most natural to him or where he could have the most success. And obviously, anytime you're stealing a 4 or 5-star prospect from Georgia, I mean, man, we're just taking Georgia's lunch money lately, aren't we? Got Chaney. Now we got Gibbs. Can't wait to see what we steal from them next. They have no water. I mean, this is great. This is fantastic. Feels good to be doing all this winning. Man, we beat them by 46 a couple weeks ago. I mean, it feels very nice. You're hot on the recruiting trail. What has happened? 2019 is awesome.
Is it the new year?
I love 2019.
Did something else happen? We'll have to go back and figure out when. No, like just when the tide kind of turned. I don't know, it's weird.
Just say 2019.
2019.
Yeah, it's the big marker there. I mean, early signing period was good, but
yeah.
Tennessee hadn't lost in 2019.
That's a good point.
Jeremy Pruitt keeps winning. Rick Barnes keeps winning. Well, I like the winning. The winning is good.
The next step on the football side will be the, you know, what do we call it? Do we call it late signing day? Regular signing day? I don't know. I'm having trouble with this.
Regular.
The February signing
day? I mean, if that was early, this is just signing day.
Okay.
Like it's always been. No need to change it. It's the same thing.
Well,
it's less valuable, I suppose, but it's still the same thing.
Last weekend, Tennessee hosted Henry Toto, and we talked about how the
– Or Tawa Tawa, I don't know, whatever.
Wait, that's how – I've been trying to say it how you said to say it for the last two or three weeks now.
What I'm saying is I am wrong a lot on the names.
Toto.
I don't know how to say it.
I think that's how Jesse Simonton said it on Talk Sports.
Toto?
Toto.
So I guessed right? Bang.
Maybe.
Bang.
Maybe I'm confused.
Feels good.
Things.
Maybe I'm starting. See, new year. I'm getting all the names right
Maybe
in the new year.
That's it, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Toto.
Well, and apparently.
He was at the Polynesian Bowl this weekend.
Well, I know.
Or this week. I guess he's still there, right? Going through practice. It's Saturday.
Davey pointed out that, you know, technically speaking, Tosh Lapoy wasn't his primary recruiter at Alabama, but the word is out that that departure is hurting his recruitment for the Tide. And we've noted, what, yesterday, the day before, that at first it was one crystal ball, now it's two, have him going, ending up at Tennessee. So we'll see. That's
Chris Bogle?
That's one that I had not thought of because I thought he signed. But
he
Chris Bogle, who told everyone he was going to Tennessee only to commit to Alabama, lost all of his primary recruiters.
Mm.
And so now I guess there's at least a chance that Tennessee could convince Chris Bogle to give Tennessee a second look. I don't know. He's already taken an official. Maybe you can get him back in for an unofficial.
Pruitt went in home with Chris Bogle this past week. Yeah.
There ain't a ring on it with Alabama yet.
They're just dating.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a committed relationship, but it's you can always get in between those if you try hard enough.
And it's funny with Pruitt recruiting against Alabama now and all these Alabama coaches leaving, Pruitt can kind of sell the, yeah, I mean, I left, it started falling apart. I have all these guys, you know, like, I mean, he can use whatever good stuff he wants to cherry pick from Alabama's messaging and say, come here, you'll get that. We got you covered there. Like, I put a, you know, oh, Alabama's telling you you'll be good in the NFL. Don't worry about that. Even if we don't win as much here at Tennessee as they have at Alabama, I know what it takes to put defensive guys in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, that's an easy sell. I mean, that's been part of the pitch for a while now, and it's obviously working.
Poor Alabama.
Yeah, Bogle's out there. Apparently, he might go to
Florida next weekend.
Yeah, Miami.
Or wait,
Florida?
I got a Gainesville correspondent text now that said he's going to maybe visit Florida next weekend.
I thought I saw where he's looking at maybe.
Getting back in with Diaz.
Maybe it's Miami in the final. Wait, we have 2 weekends left.
I don't know.
After
you've got this weekend, the weekend. No, you should have three. I don't know if they're allowed to visit the final weekend, but I think they are.
They are okay. The February 1, 2, and 3 weekend, and then the February 6th is signing day. So Florida this weekend would make sense. Miami getting the last one would make sense.
Mm.
He's already officially visited here, I think.
Yes.
And Pruitt's already gone in-home, so Tennessee's tried to kind of go early to get the, you know, get him warmed up to come here ultimately. But we'll see. He's been all over the board. I mean, Chris Bogle's the guy that told media members he was coming to going to announce for Tennessee at the All-Star game and then put on the Alabama hat.
Like, does that mean we were in second, or does that mean that he respected Jeremy Pruitt and didn't want to hurt his feelings?
Apparently,
like,
he told the guy with the microphone right before when they teased the announcement that he still might change his mind in the last, like, in the commercial break before they came back.
I guess he did. The check cleared.
Maybe that was it.
Great. So he's at the Polynesian Bowl right now. Maybe he and Toto are bunking.
Maybe. Just maybe he respects Pruitt so much. Pruitt told him, commit to Alabama. That way,
boom,
they're not recruiting somebody else that has at his position, and he flips the last second, boom, you got Bama.
I'm in on this.
You beat
theory.
Him twice.
I'm in on this
I'm,
theory.
I'm sticking with it. That's my take. I'm going to leave on that note.
I don't know if I believe it, but boy, I like it.
That sounds good.
It feels good.
Yep.
It would feel good if that was the way it went.
I think we need to leave it right there. We'll update who's coming on official visits this weekend on the Flip Side final segment.
Flip the roster, baby.
Hour number two coming right back at you here on 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Final segment, hour number two, Basketball Friday edition of the program. Tennessee, Alabama tomorrow, 2 o'clock tip-off, Thompson Bowling Arena. Been talking football, though, as Jeremy Pruitt, he's just a pro at adding players after and in between signing periods, just collecting them up like baseball cards.
A 5-star and a 4-star already in the mix.
Yeah, Aubrey Solomon, defensive tackle, and now D'Angelo Gibbs, a sit-a-year, and then wide receiver. So stockpiling. I assume we're going to see some more attrition through the next couple of steps in Tennessee's offseason program, and maybe even into the spring. But we'll see how that goes, because you know the saying, the numbers always work out. I promised the official visitor list for the weekend, so let me run down that, and then we'll get to the McKinney team hotline. This weekend, 4 official visitors. Wideout Dwan Griffin. That's like the super diamond in the rough guy I mentioned yesterday. He didn't even play football until his senior year of high school. He's a wide receiver, had about 1,000 yards and like 11 touchdowns his senior year, I believe, down in Georgia. Then you've got 3-star defensive lineman and all-name team, Wisdom Azabora.
I'm in.
Yeah, heady player right here.
Yeah,
3-star quarterback Lance Legendary. That's the kid out of New Orleans we've been talking about. And 4-star defensive back Jamie Robinson. So those are the 4 guys that will be here this weekend for the Volunteers. Things are looking up. I can't wait for a couple weeks, see how it plays out with National Signing Day. It's right around the corner. All right, let's go to the McKinney team hotline. 865-546-8200 is the number if you want to join the program. Up first today we have T-Carp. T-Carp, what's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas, good morning.
Morning,
oh, my goodness, fellas. I wake up, well, I'm kind of fiddling around last night, and I look and see that Fox Sports Knoxville, laser tag thing, and that gave me a great chuckle. So that looked like a lot of
what
fun.
You mean you were very intimidated, right? It was like a nervous chuckle because you were like, wow, these guys look tough.
Look like a bunch of bad mama jammas.
Yeah, bad mama jammas.
Guys, you know, you guys doing that leads me into this, you know, and Nate, you being a good leader leads me into this. You know, with Dan Enos leaving, and we talked about it the other day, is Nick Saban's kingdom crumbling? Like, you know, you have this coach, you know, and we talked, you know, you talked about yesterday, he's like, you know, usually Nick Saban knows when these coaches are leaving and whatnot. Do you think Dan Enos leaving and the reports saying that he Nick Saban didn't know about it, do you think that's, you know, blown out of proportion? You think that's true?
Here's the Stuart Mandel story, T-Carp. Where the bleep is Dan? Several of the staffers knew. They knew the answer to their boss's question. Word had already spread around the facility that the 50-year-old Dan Enos was leaving Alabama and headed to Miami to become offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach under Manny Diaz. No one in the room wanted to be the one to break that news to Saban, even though Miami was primed to announce it in just a couple of hours. One staffer scrambled to check if Enos was in his office. The office was empty, save for a pencil on the desk. Maybe he'd already moved into Loxley's old office. But that one was empty, too. Dan Enos no call, no showed a staff meeting at Alabama because he was in Miami accepting a job.
Dang.
Enos denied it. Enos denied it.
I'm sure he did.
Did you see the Dan Enos tweet?
No, I didn't see what did it say?
I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here. Nothing but respect for Coach Nick Saban and Alabama. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to Roll Tide Roll, Coach Nick Saban, and the program. Business is business, but like I swear I didn't do that, I swear.
Oh, yeah. This sounds like a coach that's coaching for the Miami Dolphins saying, I am not leaving for Alabama. I'm serious, though.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, karma,
okay, if you're a coach,
irony.
Though, let's pretend you're a football coach and you're a good football coach. Would you really want to come coach under Nick Saban right now? I mean, I don't think I would. Even if they were going to pay me a good amount of money, because I don't want to work under that stress. I don't want to get yelled at. You know, I'm looking.
And
you know,
T-Carp, think about this. Like, every year working there is probably stressful. Could you imagine the offseason after you get thumped in the national championship game the way they did?
Oh, my God.
Like, if it's always bad, this will be infinitely more bad. This will be the toughest offseason in the history of Alabama football under Nick Saban. A program that's already known for having incredibly, you know, strenuous hours and expectations and duties. And now this, man, like, I'm not, like, if Saban calls me and is like, hey, I want to interview you, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like,
you only use him for the next job, right? That's the only way you go to Alabama right now.
Seems like
is
it.
To use
and
it
he was
to
fine with that
job.
For a while. He was fine with that.
Yeah.
The thing is, how can you, you know, how can you recruit now? I mean, you can't just say, you know, you're
going
to
Alabama.
Yeah,
you're allowed 10 coaches on the road. Do they even have 10 coaches?
Probably not. And T-Carp, that receiver that roasted them in the title game, too, like, that's why he didn't go to Alabama.
I want to have fun. I'm going to Clemson.
The coaches keep leaving. The coaches at Clemson are stable. I'm going to go to Clemson. And he torched them in the title game.
Yep. And that makes sense. I mean, if I've got a 5-star son right now, you know, I've got Alabama, let's just say Tennessee's out of the picture. If I've got, like, Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson, I'm going to Clemson because I want them to be coached by the same person for 4 years and to be developed so they can get into the NFL. Like, who knows with Alabama if they're even going to start or even going to get developed or all the turmoil that's going over there. And it's just hilarious to think that one game can just destroy the kingdom like that, but looks like it can. And it's good for college football. I'm sick and tired of Alabama winning. And it's good for that a tyrant like Nick Saban is getting his pants pulled down and showing that he's just a big jerk and he can't guarantee game winning games and championships anymore. So, anywho,
we'll
guys,
take it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp.
No call, no showed at Alabama.
For the staff meeting. They have that every day. Like, it's, you know, they start the day with staff meeting and they go from there. I mean, it's the one, I'm assuming it's the one constant. Oh, and
where the bleep is Dan?
He and Dan Enos were set to interview offensive line coaches. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, well, sorry, coach, I was working on recruiting. I thought I didn't need to swing. But, you know, like there wasn't even any type of excuse. Like he was supposed to be there that day.
Yeah, that wasn't a, no, coach, I'm on the road going to see Toto. Right. Remember I told you about that?
And there were some other coaches doing that. Like it wasn't, so there are very few guys there other than the support staff. And,
well, yeah, they don't have any coaches. And the ones, true. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's kind of awesome.
How about this line from
good for Dan Enos. Also, he's 50? Really? He didn't look 50. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
This is from the Feldman article in The Athletic. One ex-Alabama assistant said Saban's reputation is almost so notorious that he found working for him was not anywhere as rough as he heard it was going to be. But he added that the 67-year-old head coach, quote, lacks a real personal relationship with the people he works with. It just feels like a business relationship.
No, come on. Can't be. Like I don't believe that. He seems like such a nice guy.
Well, and then I thought this was the quote that spelled the whole thing out. Quote, you can deal with getting ripped on the sidelines because that's emotion during the game, says one former Alabama coach. That's way easier to deal with. That's a couple times a year. It's just the nonstop for no reason stuff. When you're there, then you realize how bull bleep it is because it's like scheduled. Like he's going to be about the same S on September 6th or on the third day of camp that he does every single year. It's like it's in his notes. So you realize that it's not really just something that came up. That's what I think these guys don't appreciate. I mean, if somebody gets on to you for something and it's because you
made a mistake,
lacked something or made a mistake, okay, fine. Yep, I messed up and you get on to people when they mess up. That's at least seems like a fair trade and just the way things are, and that's okay. But if you start getting piled on for no reason.
When it seems scheduled, yeah. Right? When it seems premeditated.
These guys are out.
And then when there's no like break in that personality and you have a friend after that, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And I don't know. We'll debate the future on the flip side as we kick off hour number 3.